Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and I'm here today with one of my favorite indoor cycling and outdoor cycling coaches, Tom Scotto. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great, Jennifer. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
Excellent.
Today, I think you and I are just really, really into this topic. Today, we're going to talk about the approaches to teaching. We're going to discuss and kind of compare the fitness versus the athletic model of training.
Is there a topic that we're not too excited about?
I mean, we're pretty excited
about most topics.
That's true. I don't think you and I don't get bored about anything.
No.
So it's either going to be a 4-star or 5-star. That's
okay.
How it competes.
I can deal with that.
So we've got instructors, many, many instructors who are members who have different markets. They have different populations that they teach to. Now, you and I teach to similar markets. I mean, perhaps where I live, I have a little more of a percentage of cyclists, but not always. Not always. And I know, you're in a metropolitan city, so you get a big mix. You have the mothers, you have the people who haven't ridden a bike since their tricycles. So we understand the conundrum that a lot of instructors are faced with. They're like,
correct.
And this is something I think they understand intuitively, the reasons for everything you and I teach about keeping it real and, real cycling, real training. But they feel pressure from the other side, from many sources, from their students, their peers, from management, and even from the media, to offer something that is different because those four areas don't understand what we're talking about. So hopefully what we discuss today will give them a little more ammunition so that they can not only understand it, but apply this type of model.
And even the confidence to be able to go forth and feel like you are delivering something that is really quality and really needed without thinking that, oh, this is going to be boring or they're not going to like it. I think there's a big fear in that for a lot of instructors. If I incorporate a certain type of style or a certain type of training, what is that going to do to my class?
Exactly. But I think we should emphasize that we're not really talking about a style of teaching per se. We're talking more of a model of it's not just this class, but it's how they just approach their entire career, if you will, of teaching, of giving this instruction in a class situation, including the profile and scheduling and, thinking more long term.
Exactly.
So how would you define the two, fitness versus athletic model of teaching or training?
Well, I think the conundrum happens when, you do wind up with a disparate group of people in your class. Some who are just there for the experience, for the energy. Some are there just to gain that general level of fitness. And then others who are looking to take what you're giving them in class and actually apply it on the road, whether it's something more serious like competitive, or, they're just preparing for, a century or a charity ride or such.
Or they're just weekend warriors.
Exactly. Yeah, they just want to go and beat up their friends, which is a pastime for many of us. But, really, it's the challenge of, how do you deliver a class that provides value to the whole group? And I think to me, the breakdown is when you're trying to keep it real or you're looking to see, is my class real? We can often be left without methods of testing in a certain sense. Are we achieving the fitness that we're targeting? And I think that's in a lot of ways the difference in the mentality between, the athletic mindset versus the general fitness or the fitness enthusiast mindset. The athlete knows that at some point their training is going to be put to the test.
Right.
It's not just a matter of, well, I'm looking a little better and I sweat a lot, and I lost some weight. It's, can I achieve what, X performance that I was going after?
Right.
And that's just not a concern. Not that it's not a concern, but it's not in the forefront of the person who's more of the fitness enthusiast. You know, they're looking for that. They're assuming, which I think this is where the big responsibility comes in to us as instructors. They're assuming that we are delivering a class that's going to provide them that. So the only thing they really care about is, am I having fun? You know, am I sweating? Right. Am I losing weight?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. And I think you hit it pretty hard. They are, they are assuming that, and they assume that you know what you're doing. And, I would like to think that, you know, most of the, members of ICA do know what they're doing. You know, that's a big responsibility on the shoulders of the instructor.
I believe so. I mean, I think the two questions that, you know, we want to ask or even have our riders ask, you know, are they still getting fit? You know, and I think you and I talked about this, is we're really, you know, we love all the riders, you know, in our classes, but, you know, there's those dedicated folk that come in, and they're the ones that are not just dedicated to our class, but they're putting a tremendous amount of time into their own fitness, you know, and their health and their well-being. So, you know, the question is, if they come to our classes, you know, week in, week out, you know, are they still getting fit? And also, are we leaving any fitness on the table for them?
Yeah. What are the opportunities that we're missing? Now, I think a lot of people will, and they're probably thinking this right now as we're talking, but doesn't it just depend on what their specific goal is?
And I think the answer is absolutely, but it's our job to sort of put the banquet out there, so to speak, and allow them to choose, just like we would ask them to pick certain options, you know, for various drills and movements that they feel are or are not appropriate. You know, we put out a specific training, a focus, an approach, and, you know, they obviously can partake at whatever level they're able to partake at. And to whatever degree they're able to, you know, accomplish what we've put before them.
Right. So for an instructor who perhaps has been employing more of a fitness approach, which is, we're not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's not systematic in any way. It's just come in and have fun. And yeah, you're going to sweat, you're going to work hard, you're going to burn some calories, but there's not any kind of rhyme or reason or greater purpose to it. For an instructor who has been doing that for a long time, what might be some steps that they could take to change it up and start using the more athletic approach?
Well, I think before we answer that question, I think it's, you know, if I was an instructor listening to this, my first question would be, well, why should I change it up? I'm having a great time doing what I'm doing. And I think it goes back to that target rider we're talking about. You know, someone who's new to fitness or new to cycling comes into one of our classes, and, you know, I'm going to say this as a blanket statement, but, you know, regardless of what we're teaching, they're going to see some improvement in their fitness because they're basically starting from a very low point.
Exactly.
So,
the lower
any movement's going to help.
Exactly. I mean, someone who just comes off the couch is going to see big gains early on, and that's great.
Exactly. But now for the rider who's consistent in their fitness and really dedicated, and this could be, you know, doesn't have to be the elite level, you know, although they would be included in that group, the question is, if they're coming in and they're receiving a very similar workout day in and day out, we know from just the training science of stress and adaptation, if they're receiving the same thing over and over again, their body has already adapted to it. So what further stress, what further challenges are they receiving that's going to cause their body to bring them to another level of fitness?
Might it the answer is not necessarily just go harder either.
Right. And exactly. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about, you know, everything that encompasses that approach that you mentioned earlier, Jennifer, just, you know, everything from how the ride is designed to, you know, what is put out at what time of year, the intensity levels, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd like to think that the interval series that that I did and you participated in the spring of this year, 2012, gave a lot of information on how to change up those stresses, the adaptations, so that our students aren't always getting the same type of intervals all the time, and so that we provide them with more of an athletic approach to training. So if anyone is listening to this, if you have not had a chance, go back and listen to the whole series on intervals, the various kinds. I think that will kind of add to what Tom is saying. But that doesn't mean we're only talking about, you know, intervals, different types of intervals. It's the whole package.
Right. And, you know, I think there's two things that come to mind. One is, you know, we don't get tested as instructors, you know, other than when we, you know, go for our certification. But, you know, what would change if instructors were held to the same standard as a athletic or cycling coach, where your athletes are going to get tested to see if they are improving based on what you've given them for their training? That would probably change the approach we would have in how we deliver our classes, knowing that after 4 weeks or 6 weeks, you know, someone's going to go in there and they're going to test our people. Obviously, you know, there's all kinds of variables in there. I'm you know, making a very broad statement. But it definitely changes the game.
Absolutely.
Because I know as a coach, when I'm delivering a training program for someone, that is what I'm looking at. I need them to make improvements in whatever it is that they're going after.
Results speak for themselves.
They do. They do. And, you know, in designing, you know, a class and how we're putting that class together, you know, again, the general, you know, let's kind of throw everything in the soup bucket, you know, for every single class, you know, is that really meeting the needs? You know, is, you know, some would argue it's more reality. You know, when someone goes on a ride, you know, for the weekend, they experience pretty much, you know, everything under the sun. And, you know, there's a level of truth to that. You know, I will agree with that. But we also know that there's a specific amount of time that needs to be focused on various elements. And I talk to my class about this all the time, because one of the ways I introduce my class is I let them know, and this is listed this way in our club, so people know what they're walking into when they come into my class. So I do have a benefit there. Is it's listed as more of a coach training session, a performance cycling session. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I let them know that, yeah, we are going to bring the cycling specific training into the cycling studio. But before they get all freaked out thinking, you know, I'm going to put them in skin suits and put funky helmets on them.
Or make them sit down for the whole time.
Exactly. You know, I'd be in some ridiculous position. I let them know that these are the same qualities that you really want in your fitness in everyday life. You want the aerobic conditioning. You want the muscular strength and conditioning. And you want the mechanical movement. You want efficiency in all these areas. So this is nothing that's only for athletes. I mean, we all want this.
Well, that I think that's a wonderful thing. I wish more instructors and more clubs would allow instructors to do that. But I think the fear is that they scare people away from two points of view. One, that people might think it's too hard. And two, they might think it's going to be the same thing all the time, sitting in the saddle, like we just mentioned. So if you're going to advertise that, there's also got to be some explanation outside of class. You could sit there and describe it to your students. And I'm sure word of mouth would be, you know, a big part of your population. But Tom, your classes are full.
Right. And I will say this, you know, I think, you know, sometimes new instructors come in and, you know, they'll see a big class, you know, an instructor that's seasoned or just, you know, been there for a long time. You know, I think we need to have patience in how we build our classes and not let that, you know, sort of impatience of having a big class
right.
help us to sort of drink the Kool-Aid of something else. I mean, if you're doing a one-time event, that's a different thing. You promote yep. the tar out of it and you try to get everyone there. When I was given a class at one of my clubs, there was only four people in the class when they gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me over the course of probably 6 to 8 weeks to pack it. And I wasn't concerned. I mean, I just went in there, I taught my thing, and people heard about it, and more people came in. You know, it's that whole thing. They told two friends. And, you know, I've had that class now for seven and a half years.
Wow.
And it's a full class. I mean, I love it. I love the people. You know, they've all been long-term. You know, I get new people once in a while, but I think yeah. we need to have that patience and not let our convictions of what it means to deliver a sound class be affected by, I got to get the numbers.
Right. And now we're getting into a great discussion that I think we should have at another time, is how to build class. So let's move to some the meat and potatoes of this. Let's give them some direction. You know, how about some suggestions on how to make that transition? We've talked about, you know, the why it's important and how it can help our students.
Yeah, I think in general, just looking at, you know, who may be in our classes. And to that, what I mean is you might have a larger, you know, group of maybe it's the moms or just the fitness enthusiasts, or the weekend warriors, the charity riders, whatever. And I think it's our responsibility as instructors to find out, you know, who is in our class and what their goals are. And you can do this blanket. I mean, I've put out surveys to my class. They're very, very simple. You know, 3 or 4 check boxes is usually what most people can tolerate, just to get a pulse for who is, you know, who's on those saddles.
And what their immediate goals are.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think in general, there's a general structure to how to deliver a good workout, just as any personal trainer would deliver, you know, a personal training session. You know, we have that same sort of structure that we need to follow in order to be, you know, safe and effective as far as the warm-up and the proper levels of intensity and volume, intermediate recovery and cool-down. You know, all those things need to be part of it. And I don't mean to take those lightly. I mean, I kind of threw them out there as a list, but unfortunately, those are some of the most violated concepts when I go around and audit classes. It's like there's no warm-up, you know, very little recovery, everybody's maxed out, and, you know, that's what people believe that's a good class.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was reminded of a website that I had found some years ago. I don't even know if it exists anymore, and I know they changed the name, I think, because spinning went after them. But it was instructors posting their profiles, and they were everything that we joke about. You know, just, you know, 3-minute warm-ups and then 4-minute sprints, and just made up words for moves. And so, yeah, and this was a very popular website with tons of instructors who were posting their profiles. So, yeah, it's a scary world out there for those who are, you know, just entering this. Scary in the, from the point of view of, you know, we got to battle, we got to swim through those kind of pressures so that you can arrive at what you and I know to be the most successful way of helping our students achieve their goals. And that is with real cycling, real training, just like an athlete, even if they have not ridden a bike since their tricycle and never will.
What I would say is, and you know, this is where, you know, I really believe, particularly, you know, those who are members of ICA go the extra mile to put this time into their profiles and into their classes, because that's, you know, anyone who's willing to take on a membership and a subscription to what we're providing and what you're providing, you know, has already gone there. So, you know, in one sense, we're preaching to the choir. But I what I'd like to see people do more, you know, if they're concerned or just, you know, thinking, gee, you know, am I on target, you know, with my training? You know, is it really producing results? Is you have to ask a series of questions that carve your way through a particular class. You know, we won't get crazy into a periodization model right now, because I think that'll just be too onerous. Yeah. But you know, just asking yourself, okay, here's a series of questions to see if you're on target. Number one, does my ride have a specific focus or produce a specific quality of fitness? It's not a right or wrong answer, just, you know, what is it? What does it do? You know, do I have an appropriate warm-up? And does the warm-up prepare my riders for what it is we're going to do in class? Are the intensity levels for what I'm asking them to do realistic, both in, you know, the level of intensity plus the length of time they're supposed to hold that intensity? And am I giving them recovery and, of course, adequate recovery to be able to reproduce the next intensity effort, whatever that may be? So I think, you know, and then you can keep following this, you know, that line of questioning, just looking at a particular ride. You don't have to do it with every ride, but just pick one of your rides and just start questioning, you know, okay, what is the soundness here?
Yeah.
And I think we got to take ourselves out of it and go, oh, wow, I'm a bad instructor, or I'm blowing this. I mean, bag that. It's just, we're just assessing ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've done it many times. I've looked and see, wow, that ride, you know, I went overboard there. You know, I expected way too much. And it's not a negative thing on my riders. It's just physiologically I was off, you know.
Yeah. I think oftentimes it could be that we have too many objectives.
Exactly. You
know, we're trying to be a coach, so okay, we're going to work on muscular endurance and anaerobic development on this in this ride, no, you got to simplify, 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 simplify.